All right. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the Boca Podcast. I'm your host, Nathan Holritz. It is good to have you here today. For those of you that may be live streaming, it is Friday, so I hope you've had a really, really great week. A lot going on here. It's been a pretty crazy week, actually. Coming to the end of the week, I actually go to my daughter's high school graduation here in just a few hours. So that's kind of crazy. But before we do that, I actually have a brand new guest on the show today. I'm going to introduce Jane in just a second. This show is produced by Photographers Edit. So for those of you that are photographers, if you've got your busy season coming up this year or here in the next month or two, in fact, make sure that you check out photographersedit.com for all your custom editing needs. And on that note, I want to introduce a brand new guest on the show today. Well, I say brand new. I feel like how many conversations have we already had in some form or fashion, Jane?
We've had quite a few. 3, 4, maybe?
We have, yeah.
It's 10.
Over time. Well, I think brand new in the sense that you and I have never done an individual episode, interview, conversation here on the show. Right. So we're making that happen today. I will say, Jane, for whatever reason, once we went live, your audio is gotten really fuzzy. So we're going to see how that goes here. And if we notice an issue, we'll try to fix that. But for those of you that are new to the show, make sure that you follow us at Boca Podcast. You can keep up to date with these upcoming live stream sessions. And then for those of you that don't know Jane, make sure that you go to Jane's not only a photographer. How long have you been shooting, Jane?
Full time for 13 years. A while.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, quite a bit of experience. And I'd love to give that context to our listeners as well. But you also started one of the founders and the CEO of Pixello, which is how do you sum up Pixello? A photography business software platform?
Yeah, I would say it was a photography business software platform. Yes, exactly as you said it. But it's really an all-in-one just to help you run your business. And we have coaching and support, and you can use it on your phone or your desktop. So it's just really like taking everything that you need to run your business into one platform, apart from the editing, right? Because there's Photographers Edit for that.
We got you there. Yeah, we got you covered. And I'm just going to pull the website up here for anybody who is curious, and certainly those that are live streaming, Pixello, Pixello.com. And it says it right there up top, your all-in-one photography business software. We're changing the way photographers do business by making it easier than ever to manage, market, and monetize your business with one simple plan. And we'll come back to that here in just a little bit. Jane, unfortunately, I'm still getting that fuzzy feedback, and it didn't exist before we started. So
no, it didn't. Am I get feedback now?
Yeah, it's still happening. Do me a favor, if you will. I know that we were trying to get you on the mic that's in front of you a second ago, but let's see if we can switch to your earbuds.
Switch. Yep.
Testing, testing.
Testing. Is that better?
It is better. Yeah. I'm not sure why it was causing that issue, but this is clearer. So we'll just run with that. Just make sure it's not bouncing up against your hair too much, and we'll be good to go. Glad that we got that fixed. See, look, we're professionals. Yeah. We fix things along the way. Make it work.
We fix it.
Yeah.
Perfect. We did prep too as well.
Yeah, that's super odd. I'm not sure what might have caused that, but nonetheless, we'll just kind of jump right into the conversation here. And it's a question I've been asking all of our guests that come on the show at the very beginning. The Boca Podcast is about helping photographers build sustainable businesses. We're not just a random podcast. Our intention is to help photographers build businesses that don't cause them to get burnt out, that enable them to have freedom and flexibility along the way. I think that's the main reason to be in business for ourselves, is to be our own boss, and certainly to be the boss of our own time. Is there a big idea, despite wearing so many hats, running multiple companies, is there a big idea that's enabled you to have that kind of freedom and flexibility as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, I think it is I appreciate the fact that you gave me this question beforehand. I ended up writing a long essay, which is really quite funny because it was all about managing time.
That's right.
The number one principle I say is your time is money. And so how you spend your time, one of the things photographers really at the beginning don't calculate is all of the back end costs of the time it takes to run a business. So when I started in 2010, there's studies that for every 1 hour of shoot that you do, there's 9 hours of back-end work. And we did a study at Pixello, and now it's for every 1 hour of shoot, there's 13 hours. And so you really need to calculate that into your pricing, which I'm very obsessed with, making photographers have profitable pricing, because then what you can do is you can outsource your editing and really have that freedom and flexibility, or outsource the things that you don't like to do. I absolutely don't like to cull. I'd spend way too much time. I'd go down the rabbit hole. And so I'm spending so much time doing the culling. And so now I outsource it. So really looking at the number one thing is your time is money, and anything that you can outsource, if you've priced yourself correctly, then you can. Same with your life too. I'm all about outsourcing things I don't like to do.
Yeah, it's so true. And I, you and I talked about this before when you, I think when you had me in your mastermind, we talked a little bit about that idea of how to choose what we delegate out. And we talked a little bit about the kind of the balance around this conversation about outsourcing what we like to do versus those things that we don't like to do. Because at the end of the day, even if we like to do something, in some cases, it's still more intelligent, especially when we're looking at time as money, to still delegate out that particular task, whether it's editing or album design or administrative tasks or otherwise.
Absolutely. And same thing, but also you have to think of a lot of people do things better than you. You know, we have so many different hats. I mean, day one, I outsourced accounting. I was like, I'm not touching accounting. I'm not touching bookkeeping. It brings me zero joy. And I will say that's probably the number one thing that I say, just start with that. Then if you don't like editing, or you love editing, but you don't like the social media side, just really find, you can't wear every single hat and do it well. Otherwise you will burn out. And that is not the reason why you went to start your own business. Is, you know, a social media manager, a website designer, SEO knowledge, all of these things that really take up your time. And if you've calculated your time to do it, you'll probably be able to do more of the things that you love. For me, it's the shooting. I love to be on the shoot. I love the kids. And anything I can do to sort of not be blogging. I'm not a writer. I'm a photographer. So I have writers that help me write my blog posts, and same thing with editing too. So it's, and there's no wrong thing. Whatever you, if you want to do it all, great. Just make sure that you're charging enough for your time doing those things.
Yeah. Wow. And see, we could literally, I mean, it is a bit ironic spending too much time on a topic that's about saving time, but we could literally park here for the whole episode, because you've said so many different things that I want to, I'm so tempted to comment on. At the end of the day, though, I'm going to circle back around just to kind of sum up this particular point to your original point, which is that time is money. So, yes, we may like to do a particular thing, but the question is, how much are we attempting to make on a week-to-week or month-to-month basis? Mm-hmm. And is doing that particular task more expensive for us to be spending our time on than to be able to hand it over to somebody else? One of the things that happens when in conversations about outsourcing editing is photographers are like, well, I can do it myself and I can quote-unquote save the money. But if they spend a couple $100 to, say, outsource the editing for a wedding, that gives them anywhere from, on average, probably 12 to 16 hours of additional time that they can then go invest in actually building their business. So the time that they're able to save with the editing by spending a couple $100 means they now have time to go make potentially thousands of dollars in the long run, because they're actually spending their time intelligently.
And it's also, when you think about, you know, and 12 to 16 hours editing a wedding is probably quite on the low end, when you, especially when you add in culling and all of that stuff to them. But if you can pay someone $200 and then you're probably taking 20 hours for the whole thing, that's $10 an hour. You probably can do something much more rewarding for yourself than the $10 an hour. So yeah, I'm all about that. Especially with my life too.
We all have so much to juggle. So why not look for those opportunities to be able to delegate those things out? We do need to charge enough up front to be able to afford to do so, obviously, to have that margin. But we delegate that out. That allows us to go focus our time and effort and energy on building our business, A, and then B, just as important, if not more so, obviously, spending time with the important people in our life, actually having a life outside of work. It is so important. Sue says hello from Sun Valley, Idaho. And Lane's chiming in from Raleigh, North Carolina. Hey, Lane, thanks for saying hello. Hello. And Joe Bryan from Rye, New York. That's really awesome. And for the rest of you that are live streaming, don't be shy. Say hello, comment, ask questions along the way. Jane, we're running into that same audio issue again. It is the weirdest thing, and I'm not sure what might be causing it. There's a kind of a static sound that's coming in, and I'm not sure what might be happening. Do me a favor, if you will, Jane, and I'm just going to log you out of the call, and you can sign back in.
I'll dial back in.
And maybe that will kind of reset everything. All right. Thanks, everybody, for bearing with us, and sorry for the slight technical difficulties. These are the fun challenges that we have running not just a podcast, but a live podcast. And every once in a while, we deal with these tech issues that we have to just kind of to take in stride. So we're doing our best. And Jane is calling back in. So let's see if we can add her back to the conversation here. All right. We got you back in. Hello, Jane. Can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, it's super clear. And we're going to cross our fingers and just run with it.
Sorry, we practiced.
Yeah, so. No worries at all. No worries at all. Well, let's just jump into the conversation while we've got good audio here too. And for those of you that haven't seen the title today, we're going to be talking about marketing beyond social media. And, you know, in 2023, the default conversation when it comes to marketing just tends to go to social media, and it for obvious reasons. But you're suggesting that we need to kind of be able to think beyond that. And to some, that may be obvious. To others, maybe not so much, just because of the narrative in our culture at this point. Why are you encouraging photographers to think beyond social media when it comes to marketing?
Well, there are many, many reasons to not just focus on social media. And one, I like to think of marketing as sort of like a cake, because I'm hungry. But social media is just a piece of that pie. And also, one of the things we're talking about, time is money. And if it feels like it's a constant struggle to keep up with the algorithm, to keep coming out with content. And also, you know, I've had friends that have Facebook pages of 100,000 followers that just go poof because they got it got taken down for whatever reason. Similar thing with Instagram account. I feel like it's not necessarily reliable. So in terms of the like time and money, it's yes, have a presence, but it can't just be your whole marketing plan. Like prior to being a photographer, my background is in marketing. So I'm extremely passionate about marketing. But also in 2010, I built my business without being on social media. So it is a way of sort of like, how can we take the stress of constantly wanting to be seen and, you know, managing the algorithm. It can be a full-time job. And it is for some people, that's their job, is social media management, to keep up with that. So I think there's a lot of things is the pressure. You end up going down a rabbit hole if you're like me and I'm on social media, I will just waste 3 hours just logging and looking at other people's photos, either getting imposter syndrome. I ended up doing that, so I unfollow people. Yeah. And so it can be a great tool, but it can't be the only tool that you use. That's my thing. I'm not saying you can't do social media, but it just has to be a piece of the puzzle. Or the cake.
Yeah, there's a phrase that Jill, who produces the show, and I repeat to each other quite a bit, which is both and. It's always good to remember. Yeah. It's so easy, especially in our culture that tends to be quite extremist in nature, whether you're reading news headlines or you're on social media or otherwise. It's this very extremist, over-the-top, black and white, either-or mentality, yeah, which has so many innate problems to it. Both and. We're not talking about ignoring social media here, yeah, but we need to, and I love that you bring this conversation to light. We need to be thinking both and in this case. We need to consider the fact, yeah, that a platform can go away. We invest all our time, effort, and energy into it, and it can just go away because we don't have control over that. We need to be thinking about how we're spending our time, and especially as it relates to the amount of time that we spend in front of screens and the potential benefit, yeah, that comes just from a general psychological health standpoint of actually engaging with people individually again, having those conversations.
Human
beings, yeah, believe it or not, we're still here. Yeah. and the conversation goes on. And in fact, I know that you're going to kind of get into some of these details. So we'll go. I just wanted to set the tone, set the context for the conversation. I love that you're highlighting that we need to not just focus on social media. We need to move beyond that. And we're going to talk about a few different ways to do that here. But we've got some additional comments that have come in. And Joe says, okay, we had a number of comments actually commenting on the fact that the audio is clear again. So that's good. And then Allison says, don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. And yeah, I think that's a good summation really about why we should not just be paying attention to social media. So let's get into three specific ways. I know you're going to share with me, and I told you before we get started, I'm going to be taking notes here on my notebook, kind of old school style. Let's just go ahead and get into those three ways that photographers can move beyond just this obsessive focus on social media and think about how to market their business.
Yeah. And actually, you're going to flip my switch because I was going to do this last, but I will talk about it first. And it is actually getting the human interaction, but it's via something that photographers hate to use the word networking. I actually don't use the word networking. I use making friends. And so it is getting out into your neighborhood. We're all local businesses, unless you're a destination wedding photographer, and that's a different note. But it is, for example, if you're a family photographer, you know, and go out and figure out who the people are that target the same audience as you. So meet with the local music studio, meet with the pop-in play place, go meet with the owners of them, see how you can build a rapport, a friendship. I found that most of my referrals come from other small businesses. And so that, and if you are on social media, make sure that you're supporting them too, right? So you're liking, you're sharing, you're commenting on their businesses. You can then build such a great friendship because photography is also lonely. You are by yourself, probably at home. You know, making those connections can not only really help you in terms of you share the same client base, but you can also ask questions about which social media works best for you to reach our local audiences. And again, it can also be joining a chamber. One of the best things that I found was very eye-opening when I joined the chamber with all these different businesses, and they told me that actually 10% of their business comes from that area. And it's all the other surrounding towns that come to our town for business. So I was like, oh, wow. So there is a bigger market out there that's not just my village, my town. So that was very early on to really, really help. And plus then, you know, you can commiserate and be like, help, this client said this. Can you help me? I have a really, really good friend who is so amazing with customer responses. And she gets the worst. And so she helps me respond. And, you know, we commiserate about the craziness sometimes too. Or if it's slow, what can we do? Can you partner with that person? Is there a place that you can, you know, you love this coffee shop and it would be great to do coffee shop minis, get to know them, frequent your local businesses, support them. They might not directly support you, but it also makes you feel good to support your local businesses. And then you'll meet new friends that are in a similar position to you. So that is sort of one of the ways that I feel like we can be quite introverted. I don't want to network. I don't want to do a BMI. It doesn't have to be that way. It can be, hey, I'm going to go make a couple new friends.
It's true. That's true. Jane, believe it or not, that the audio issues popped back. I think we're just going to have to like plan on just this repetitive process of you logging out and back in because it seems to reset it. So go ahead and do that one more time for me and just log right back in, if you will. And for those of you listening in, thanks for your patience. I'm not sure why this has happened. I think we've only ever seen this happen once or twice before in the show. So it's a bit unusual, but we'll see if maybe resetting or Jane logging back in will reset the audio. For those of you listening in, though, I want to give a bit of context, and of course, we'll get Jane back in here very soon. It may seem obvious. You know, you see a title. Oh, here we go. Jane's logging back in. Give us just one second. Let's make sure that we can add her. All right. Good. Jane, can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah. We'll just plan, you know, it's better when we think about expectations. Like if we have expectations set a certain way and then it doesn't go the way we're expecting to go, then we're disappointed, right? So we're just going to set our expectations that, you know what, we may continue to run into this for the next 20 minutes. If as needed, we'll just kind of log, sign in and sign out, and we'll address the issue. You're clear again. What I was saying, though, as you were logging out and back in, to our audience is this conversation, first of all, when somebody sees a title like the importance of moving beyond social media, the immediate response may be, oh, well, of course we should do more than just market beyond social media. And then we get into the conversation now and we're saying, hey, let's actually make the time and effort for the sake of human interaction and connection. Again, the natural response, the automatic response by a photographer listening might be, well, of course, like Nate, you're stating the obvious. Jane, you're stating the obvious. But I don't think it's actually based on photographers' behavior, as I've seen it over the last, let's call it 4 to 5 years, it's not actually the default action on the part of the photographer to actually make time to spend with individual human beings in the local area that they're working, the local marketplace, whether that's other photographers or other vendors. Right. And you mentioned something about photographers kind of tending to be introverted, and that's usually the excuse that gets thrown out there. I think sometimes it's just laziness. They're like, oh, instead of being in front of my computer, I have to drive 15 minutes to grab coffee and I don't really feel like that. And then they come up with an excuse and, you know, the so-called reasoning, the excuses get listed on and on and on and on. But at the end of the day, unless we're actually making the time for that individual human interaction, which, by the way, also benefits us emotionally and psychologically. We talk about being lonely as business owners, but then we don't make the effort to get out and connect. There's an obvious solution there. We can get out and connect. But there's real opportunity for connection, not only with potential clients, obviously, but with other photographers, with other vendors, to develop working relationships, as you described so wonderfully, that go beyond just the networking meeting where we sit and we have conversation and we look for opportunities to collaborate. It may seem obvious off the bat, but I don't think it's as obvious based on photographers' behavior as one might assume. So I love that you highlight this.
Yeah, I think it's really important to actually have a community of photographers as well, whether if that's you making it or go through PPA, but really having those people that if you're in a pinch and you need a second photographer. I remember my grandmother was very sick and I had a couple newborn shoots and they had family in from Argentina and from England, these two shoots. I said, hey, can you just at least shoot the family portion of it? When I come back, I'll be able to do the newborn. My clients were great. But having that person that I was able to turn to, and again, it's similar to having, you know, I don't know why I get a lot of wedding people asking on my website, but I have a lot of wedding photographer friends or events that I just refer out to, and vice versa. It can really help build your relationships if you have the people that you can refer out to. And I will say that especially knowing also their skill level and their style can really help too, because if you've had, you know, if you're sick or something and you have really great clients and you need to refer them to somebody that you trust, building that relationship with someone of like where you're letting go of your like best clients and you're like, oh, please take care of them. You know them by now. And Ruth is, hey, go, by the way, find somebody else on the internet. You know, it's helps your clients as well to build those relationships.
There are benefits all the way around. And I love the comment, actually. Joe says, love that. Making friends over networking. And I think as simplistic as that might seem, and again, as obvious as it might seem to some, we have to actually be intentional in doing this. And that's making time on a regular basis to get out, not only to connect with the local photography community, but other vendors in our area. The business networking meetings are one way to go about that. I'm not a huge fan of them because they seem so stuffy, at least the ones that I've been to in the past.
Yeah.
I think actually making the time to ask a local vendor out for coffee or lunch or dinner or whatever the drinks, whatever it might be, to have individual conversation and then talk about the possibility. One, it gives us an opportunity to develop real relationships with them that aren't these surface level, just transactional relationships. But then there's also opportunity at that point to explore the possibility of collaborating. So I think that's so good. And actually, Allison kind of chimed in and as well. And she says, let me pop this up here on screen. She says, totally far more genuine and fulfilling as well. And yeah, I very much agree in that regard. Well, let's keep going here because we have just a few minutes. We're going to start with the importance, obviously, of making human connection, like genuine human connection beyond the screen. And I think that's great. Take us to number two, if you will.
So my number two is actually your website. And I know this seems very counterintuitive that people are like, oh, I just build a website and it's there. But one of the things is your website is your sort of like your static business card, let's say. That's how people are treating it nowadays. But realistically, it can be your number one goal, like number one, what's it, referral, basically. Not going on the words.
Source of business, yeah.
That's the word. So But there are really people get very overwhelmed with like your website, or they've had a bad experience with someone that's designed their website and won't let go of it. But you can really, really impact the amount of clients you get from really dominating your local area in Google. And so, and that can be, hey, get a Google business profile, update it, like update it once a week. You don't even have to update it as much as you update Instagram or Facebook, right? And so asking for client reviews, getting those really reviews on your Google business page is huge. And then you'll start ranking higher and higher in Google. So when people are searching for you in for family photographer in Westchester, New York, you're gonna come up higher. Their purchase intent is a lot quicker, you know, the conversion rate is a lot higher if you are ranking higher in Google. And there's a couple of things that writing blog posts that help with SEO. I will say I did mess up my SEO when I first started. I had someone advise me and it was on a national level. And I rank high for how to photograph your twins. Okay. So I will say, if you don't understand it, really hire somebody that knows local SEO, and that will really help you, because we are a local business. We don't need to rank across the US unless you're a destination wedding photographer, really that knows local SEO. And that again is something that you really should be outsourcing unless you're really good at it, or just taking a course. There are courses out there for local SEO, but it's one of those things that it can really take up a lot of time.
Tips, and like, I think that's it goes back to that conversation around how much we try to take on ourselves. It's not going to look, I realize there's not kind of a singular answer for anyone. Our intentions, our goals, the amount of time that we have, how much money we're trying to make, all of these things play into how we decide to spend our time. But at the end of the day, taking on yet another profession, because it's literally a whole different, a whole additional profession, and learning SEO is going to take so much of your time. And if you've taken the time, going back to Jane's earlier point about time is money, if you've taken the time to figure out how much you're worth an hour, at least how much you need to make an hour, and you can pay somebody else less than that to do the work for you, then you should look for the opportunity to do that, because they're going to also bring in expertise that you don't have, and that won't come with just, you know, a couple of Google searches. So I think it's important to mention that. For those of you listening in too, because this is a loaded topic, and we're not going to park here real long, but if you go to bokapodcast.com, just search SEO, you'll see some even more recent episodes. We did one with Fuse from Get Found with Fuse. Yeah, it was incredible in her knowledge base around SEO, but make sure you go take a look or listen to those episodes. And so we're starting with human networking is literally what I wrote down, but that the importance of human interaction. By the way, I'll make this mention too, Jane. Lane said, I have trouble doing that since I'm so shy. We're talking about, of course, getting out and connecting with. Something that I want to encourage everybody listening in, and feel free to share your thoughts on this, Jane, but my perspective, because I used to kind of frame myself as an introvert as well. It's a longer story that we won't get into today, but when I took a step back to look at the thought process and what really amounts to a belief system or systems, of course, we're not talking about religion here, just what do I believe about this particular scenario that makes me afraid or nervous? I think a lot of people assume that their tendency to be shy is just this thing that's built in since birth and there's no way to change it. What I would encourage everybody listening in who feels like they are introverted in nature and tendency is to take a step back and look at the belief or set of beliefs that's driving that fear, that apprehension, and look for opportunities to make change in that regard. And maybe it may involve having conversations with a therapist or otherwise, but I just want to throw that out there because so many photographers struggle with that. And I can relate to it, but I can also say that making this effort can actually enable you to step beyond it.
Yeah, and that's why I like to reframe it as making friends versus networking. So it can even be you are talking to the restaurant owner that you go to every week for pizza on a Friday, right? They, you know, it's just making those friendships that are long lasting. It's actually not networking. And for example, I made a connection with the music studio that my daughter goes to. Actually, I made it before when my niece and nephew were going there, because I had gone and I just sort of have a conversation like great class and this, and then I support them on social media. And then it builds over time that it's not going to be your best friend right away, right? Mm-hmm. And you also have to think of like, you have such you have a lot to offer them for their needs. For example, you know that like you could help that, you know, doula get an amazing photo of her website. You have right. such a gift that it really helps saying, hey, I can help them. I always go into it with how can I help them first? And then like the relationship will start. It's like, how can I help them build their business
yeah.
versus going to it, what can I do it for, it, what's in it for me? Because it just is, makes me feel better about helping somebody in
well,
their business.
And it's a really, that's really great advice because when you're focused on helping somebody else, now the attention is outward, right? It's right. on the other right. person versus obsessing yeah. about our so-called introversion or various fears, insecurities that might be tied to why we're not comfortable, why we feel shy. Again, that's not a judgment, but I just want to encourage, because it's such a strong narrative in our industry. I just want to encourage everybody who may feel that way.
Yeah.
Just be willing to do two things. One, take a step back. Think about the beliefs that are kind of driving those apprehensions, those fears, the tendency towards shyness, and look for opportunities to be able to change that belief system, because it you can step beyond that, number one. And then two, I love this, Jane, focus on service, focus on the other person. How can you yeah. add value to their life? And when that attention gets directed to the other person, we're thinking less about ourselves and our fears and our concerns and insecurities, and it makes that yeah. whole process a whole lot easier. So I think that's really, really good. So we're starting first with the importance of that, the so-called human networking, making friends. Really is what it comes down to. And yeah. I love that.
Yep.
Number two, certainly the importance of not just having a website, but SEO and I get such a loaded topic and we only have so much time, but it's certainly one that we need to spend some time on. And the cool thing about that domain is that we actually own it, right? That's our website. We get to control what's on there, the user experience there. And it's really important to actually make sure that we not only hire the experts that can help us set up a really great website, but that we continue to develop that for that purpose as well. We have just a few minutes, Jane, and you still have good audio. So we're going to try to get the third point in before it crashes again. Take us to that third point, if you will.
Well, it's just to get you to get me to shut up off a point. That's what it is. You really
you're not at all.
I'm just kidding.
You can't do that.
I'm kidding. So the actually something that else that you own as a business owner is email. I love email. I think that it is so underrated as a marketing tool. You know, a lot of photographers now are just actually booking clients through Instagram message or Facebook message, which is great that you're booking them, but you need to get that email again because you own it. And you have those email addresses that you can then use to promote any upcoming sessions, because they will probably miss that Facebook post that you put up. They will miss that Instagram post that you put up about your mini sessions, but it gets directly into their inbox. They are much more likely to open it than they are if they see it on Facebook or Instagram. So really nurturing your email. And also, if you're just starting out, you try to build your email list. But if you have got a couple years into it, you already have a huge client base. Marketing to your existing client base is so much easier than just getting new clients. So it's like 25%, you know, like 25 times much more expensive to get a new client than it is to retain your existing clients. I was lucky in the fact that I loved email marketing and I nurtured my clients. They were, if they booked with me, they were on my VIP list. They got first dibs on any fall calendar, any sessions that I had. I also have a separate list of someone that inquires with me but didn't book for whatever reason. Maybe I wasn't available. Maybe the price was too high. I still keep them on a list. And then those go out after my VIP. If you're a client of mine, you get number one priority of a weekend in the fall. You are my bread and butter. You've been keeping me in business for 13 years. I treat you like gold. And the way I treat them like gold is via my email. It's not connecting with them on LinkedIn or Twitter or social media, any social media. It is through it's through email. So I recommend really trying to get people onto an email list. And if you have just them via Facebook message or text message, just really try and nurture them on email. That's probably my number one is email, apart from I like all three, to be honest.
Well, they're all so important. And again, the person listening in who's maybe used to listening to photography podcasts or reading, you know, blog posts or otherwise, they're like, well, I've heard this stuff before. There is so much value in And I think repeating the most important principles, because it's very easy for us under the guise of, I've heard this before, to just kind of say, that's a nice idea, and then move on and not actually do it. Or maybe even more importantly, do it consistently, right? We're like, oh, I should build an email marketing list and actually try to mine this list for the sake of business. And we put an initial effort in and then it just dies off. It's the consistency and doing the basics that can really make a big, big difference in the long run, whether it comes to actually taking the time to get out and connect with people in person, making the effort certainly to continue to develop SEO and the overall user experience on the website. And then number three, an email marketing list. And I think this is maybe Jane, if you'd be willing, we could do another episode soon, just talking specifically about email marketing, if you'd be open to doing something like that.
Because I love email marketing.
Well, it's a loaded topic. And honestly, we haven't really covered it in a lot of detail on the show. So maybe we can kind of come back to that. This is a good segue, though, to talking briefly about Pixelo, because I know that you have some email tools built into the platform. Is that right?
Yeah. So think of Pixelo as your studio manager, your gallery hosting, your product selling portion, your calendar booking all in one. So right now, one thing that I love is we're working on like email automations. For example, you know, you get an inquiry in your email, you get an automatic email back. Then you send them an inquiry. The client hasn't opened it. You can set it to actually have where the photographers, you know, the photographer says, oh, send them an email 3 days later because they haven't opened it. Same thing as you go through the booking proposal. You can accept payments through that. And again, all through the process, same thing with the galleries. You share your gallery. What is going out a month after that? Is it a review email to get clients to review you? What's going after that 6 months after? Hey, it's a reminder to book your shoot. So I'm obsessed with email and the way that we're building Pixelo to really help you photographers kind of set it and forget it almost. Mm. So they, you know, it's just sort of like take that one task off the to-do list and just let them, you know, be able to build their businesses and have the freedom and flexibility to do things that they love to do. And so that's why I'm passionate, as well as the other side of Pixelo is really helping them make money. So it's like helping save time and money. We have built in, you know, the client pays for 6 images on a headshot. Well, your gallery will only let them download those 6 images. Oh, and by the way, you can buy more. No codes, no nothing. Right. Let's get you to make more money. And so at the end of the day, that's our goal, is to make photographers make more money and doing something that they love. And by the way, go to your kids' graduation, right? You know, get time to do that.
I mean, and we laugh, but the reality is that we've all, in one form or fashion, as business owners, allowed work to kind of take precedent. Even if it wasn't intentional, it ends up kind of taking over and taking priority in some cases, and it interferes with what really matters most at the end of the day. You know, I mean, we talked about human relationships, and the cool thing is we have the opportunity to develop those relationships in the context of work. But at the end of the day, what we're all left with is relationships. And if we're doing, if we're running our business in such a way that it's interfering with the opportunity to develop on an ongoing basis those important relationships in our life, we're doing certainly ourselves a disservice. We're doing our family and our friends a disservice, and we're doing the world a disservice as well. I mean, it's human connection at the end of the day that makes any and all of this stuff worth it. And I love that you're focused on that as well. I think it's really great. I have to say too, by the way, for anybody listening, and I usually say this when we talk about other brands and companies on the show, Jane didn't ask me to talk about Pixelo. That was certainly my own initiative. Yeah. So I don't want anybody to think that this is you know, meant to be a paid advertisement or something like that. One of the things that I actually like about Pixelo that seems to stand out, at least in my mind, compared to the other, I'll say it loosely because I know you're doing a lot of different things, but CRM platforms that are out there, is that focus on enabling photographers to make more money, because that really gets lost in the conversation a lot of times. Yeah. I mean, obviously at the end of the day, we're running a business, we have to make money, but it's not necessarily always a priority. And a lot of us, and I will say myself included, don't have business training. And so as a photographer, I didn't know what it meant to think about numbers and ultimately to maximize my profit margin. And to think about running a business in the context of numbers is just not something that we're used to. So I love that you're prioritizing that.
Well, we're definitely prioritizing it. And I think that you can spend so much time and effort and learning the craft and being an absolutely amazing photographer, yet you have no business acumen, or you feel, you know, like you're not priced correctly. And then what happens is you have to go back to your job that you hated because you can't make any money from this beautiful photography. Right. And so for me, I've mentored photographers for many years prior to starting Pixello. And so I got kind of my kick in, you know, my inspiration for Pixello was a couple of photographers that I saw that I was just like, why now you have to go back to the day job that we failed you as an industry for not talking about the numbers. And so for me, it's like, we don't have the training like hairdressing industry where you go to school to learn the craft. And then you have a year where you learn through osmosis how to price yourself. And so for photographers that don't have that sort of system, that's what Pixello is trying to do, is to provide that in an easy way too, right? Because no photographers want to sit down next to a calculator and, you know, do it. So we created a calculator, 4.5 years of research, and it's still going, to make sure. And I will say that photographers that have been in business over 4 or 5 years are like, that pricing couldn't be more accurate. And it's crazy. So it really is giving photography industry the tools that they can do to feel confident to charge what they're worth. You know, at the end of the day, I'm kind of sick of the narrative of like, well, I just started out, I can't charge. And you know what? The kid down the street borrowing their parents' lawnmower to charge $25 an hour to hack your lawn, you deserve to at least make that. Right? Because your art and your costs and everything. So, the kid that's babysitting your kid that's 13 years old while your kid's asleep and they're watching a movie and they're getting paid 15 bucks an hour.
Right.
Photographers deserve to earn money and from their craft. Whether or not their photos aren't perfect, they still need to be making money from their time and talent.
Absolutely.
That's it. And the costs that they have.
Absolutely.
Well, I could go on about this all day.
Well, and we'll make some time, because hopefully we can come back and do another episode and we can talk about email marketing specifically, and maybe we can spend a bit more time on some of those tools too that Pixello has created to enable the photographer to develop not only financial awareness, but ability to make more money as well. So I think that's a good point of conversation. Jane, I really, truly appreciate you making time today to do the show.
Sorry about the audio.
Oh, no need to apologize. And I know that we just kind of, we scratched the surface with some topics that are pretty deep. So hopefully we get to come back again and touch on those some more. We'll make sure to link to Pixello in the show notes for those of you that are listening in. Just go to bocapodcast.com for those show notes. And make sure to check out Pixello, PICSELLO.com. Thanks again, Jane. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Thanks, Nathan.